Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
The show that never ends. I am Vivian McPeak, and this is the Hemp Resent Resistance. If you have feedback or like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Resent, email me at hempresent@gmail.com. Hit me up, people. Jeff Crawford has been involved in independent media, activism, and technology for decades. He started with Bohemia After Dark, one of the first indie music video shows, and later organized the Portland Hemp Festival in the mid-1990s. Jeff's work spans media preservation, AI, and digital activism, focusing on counteracting algorithmic manipulation and censorship. Jeff has worked extensively with content archiving, including rare footage restoration for Getty, and he's deeply invested in exploring how AI can be utilized to reclaim digital spaces from corporate and political influence. Hey, Jeff, what's up, my friend?
Doing really good, Vivian. Thanks.
My pleasure, man. These are the interesting times that the Chinese curse warned about. We live in what has been termed the information age. Many of us are experiencing what I call information poisoning, with not just too much information to process, but also an environment that is largely post-truth in some areas, especially with social media and the rapid growing presence of AI disinformation, bot-generated PSYOP lie memes. You work in AI automation. You've developed some strategies for fighting against algorithmic suppression, political manipulation, and engagement-driven disinformation. First, what is algorithmic suppression, and how do these things work?
Well, it works like this. All social media platforms that are basically not decentralized, like Blue Sky is a decentralized social media platform that is based on offshore servers. So it's not necessarily in one place. It's scattered throughout the world through CDN. And CDN, if you're in Japan, Tokyo, you go on Blue Sky, then that CDN notices you based on your IP address, then it connects you that way. That way, there's no tracking. But when you use your browsers on your desktop, if you connect through that with Google or anything like that, if you're not protecting yourself, then you're open to those algorithms and the bots. You know, if you notice when you search something on Google, then suddenly it comes up on your social media feed. So that was the beginning of it. And I would say that's been going on for, you know, everybody kind of about a decade, good decade. And so they're constantly testing it. So when, with Grok, you know, which is part of X, formerly Twitter, when that came out, I was asking it questions because, and using ChatGPT as a reflectant of the answers that I was getting from Grok, and then kind of based on the questions I asked were basically basic, like, how is the manipulation with algorithm bots and within social media? And they gave me a concise answer, how to combat it to a degree. And then I asked ChatGPT to confirm this. And then there's DeepSeek too. So you can, or Claude, you can ask these, some of them are just open source, you can ask them. So
these are AI generative platforms, right?
Yeah, correct. You know, and then most of them are free. You know, like all the you know, like Microsoft has its own Copilot, but it's basically like ChatGPT connected to it. So everything is connected to AI. Everything we do on any social media platform, you know, really, I noticed the first thing, and really with community notes, when, you know, that escape that went Musk did, And then that they rely, there's actual people, but they're relying on these AI bots and to gather the information, and they, and then not real people though, are going through that. And then they could cherry pick what, who is going to get the likes, the comments, you know? So then if you go into Meta, you know, then you have right now what, what's happened over after the last 6 months and even prior, you could notice all these floods of specifically right-wing leaning posts, and there's these groups, and these groups are connected to websites, and these websites are, if you, you just start digging deep, you know, you go through any of these groups, pages, you can see where they originate from, if they have a website, if they just have a Gmail account, you know, that kind of, these are little red flags. And then if you go to the website, if they're just doing gaming, it's like gaming. What, what's that have to do with politics on social media? So nothing.
It's a dummy. It's a dummy, yeah, site, dummy. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, exactly. I noticed about 6 months before the election, the last election, on my, one of my scrolls on one of my profiles on Facebook, about five of these right-wing bot meme generation profiles, troll profiles of lies, right? It was just fabrications and stuff like, you know, Kid Rock blows away Taylor Swift's attendance record, right? And then they got more like devious. And then, like, you know, by the time it was a month before the election, there was like 100 of them. And so these things were so effective at spreading disinformation. You know, a majority of Americans thought that America was in a recession when it actually wasn't, you know, anymore. We can probably anticipate, because it works so good, there's going to be many more of these in the future.
They're flooded, and it's, you know, they're easy to create. And that's what I, you know, that's where it leads me into where, well, if they create these, you know, and I know a little bit about, you know, code and working on my own website, you know, for over the past few decades, and working with people that do development, and especially on the back end development, you know, where it's basically code, the inner workings of the mechanics of a website or a server. And so, like, well, ChatGPT and Claude can create these bots. They're based on open source. So anybody can go on ChatGPT and create their own bot. And so then there's other websites where you can create the bots. You have to go on GitHub and a couple other sites. I won't mention names here. But you can go to these sites, and then they can help you create it using the references of ChatGPT or Claude or DeepSeek will help you guide you through these. If you know very little about code, you don't have to know much to create these bots in order to implant them yourself, to remove the algorithms, to remove the shadow banning. And I, when I was creating these, we were noticing that the algorithms would change every 10 seconds, especially on Meta Facebook. And then I adjusted the bot to, okay, let's do it every 3 seconds. So we combat. So it's this battle now. And true cyber warfare with inside Facebook and Meta, AI, you know, Instagram, Threads, X, Google probably, you know, like, it, you know, I don't know much about it. I haven't dug deep in Google yet, but I know, you know, they, based on their algorithms and their advertisement drive into Meta, they're kind of equal. And then now it's kind of like Meta and X kind of sharing the same algorithms with the sites, the likes, the comments. And so when you see thousands of these comments and likes, you're going, wow, what is going on here? And then you have your group or whatever group you follow, and they're barely getting anything. So that's what, so that bot will be placed in your group, and then you could help remove these algorithms that are attacking. And then this gets out the message more, because we're being blocked. Our message is being completely blocked on all these platforms. The only one that's not being blocked, I would say, is Blue Sky.
Yeah, I made a post, as you know, on Facebook, and I made the same exact post the same time on Blue Sky. In 24 hours, my Facebook post had 7 likes, and my Blue Sky one had over 700 likes, right? We are getting close to the break here. We've got about 20 seconds. When we come back, let's touch on how the average person can protect themselves against this crazy stuff. I'm talking to Jeff Crawford. And we're going to take a quick break and come immediately back, so don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, we're back with Jeff Crawford. Jeff, like America's at war. You know, there's a war against democracy. Yeah. And this, you know, social media and AI is such a big part of it. And how, in fact, I'm not convinced that without it, Trump would be in the White House. How can the average person protect and defend against being victimized, manipulated, and really like bamboozled by these devious mechanisms on social media? What steps could a non-techie person take to defend themselves against being prey to this stuff?
Well, you know, the knowledge is power. What we just talked about right already that I explained, but we, you know, like knowing that this is happening, you know, it's happening, and don't believe your lying eyes, I guess, in this case. But you could tell by how it looks. And don't engage. If you engage with them in that way, I would use something to say you are a bot or a troll. You're trolling, and this whole group and page is this. Then that's exposure. That throws off the algorithms. I that was one of my main questions asking ChatGPT and other open sources, how do we protect ourselves? And that was the main thing. Like, if you notice, then what you could do is post these things. You got to fight them that way too. You fire with fire, unfortunately. But on your end, on any end, like I would use a VPN, a good VPN, and hide your IP. And that way it would help relieve some of these shadow bannings that are happening. There's not much an end user can do, because you're under the terms of service with these platforms. And so you could build your own bot like I can, and you could have yourself guided through that, through, like I said, any open source like ChatGPT, DeepSeek, can help you guide you through these things. And especially with ChatGPT, I hate to be a big champion for it, but they do have the option for anybody to create their own bot really easy. And it's simple. And if you take the time, and then even if you guide it through YouTube, I have very little knowledge in it myself. I learned through the process of this. So everything, because I do back end, hire people do back end myself. And I just the decades of learning doing sites, I knew a little bit about it, and AI helped.
And I just want to point out that VPN is a virtual private network. And so if someone was a layman, right, somebody was a Luddite and wasn't, you know, necessarily tech savvy, they could go into a search engine like ChatGPT, God forbid, and say, you know, what are the steps to protect, you know, myself against these algorithms? And they would get like a list, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, you have to use these tools, unfortunately, because we're already embedded with everything. When we're using our devices right now, it's already embedded. When you go on Messenger, on Meta AI, any or WhatsApp, or even talking privately, the encrypted part of it in Messenger is not encrypted. It's no different than incognito mode on Chrome. You know, it's still tracking you. Meta AI is in our conversations. Grok is in our conversations, you know what I mean? So, and then, Grok, you know, Grok, how Google Grok, and
Grok, project. A lot of people might have no idea what Grok is. What's Grok?
Okay. Well, Grok is this former Twitter AI that's on the app itself. You know, you can go in and ask a question. create an image, whatever you want, you know, and pop it on your page if you want. So that it's no different than Meta AI. It's no different than ChatGPT. It's just how it was built and what was the information put into it that reflects the answers you get. And it's so it's, you know, look at Musk, evil base. Of course, it's going to have evil tendencies. So that's why I asked that to Grok the question first. Ask the source, right. You know. So I took that source answer, like I said, and had ChatGPT, a little lighter, friendlier AI source. And it doesn't like Grok, obviously. So I played on each other, basically. And as far as the average user, they could just go in, and like I said, they could go on ChatGPT, preferably not Meta AI, not Grok. DeepSeek's good, but it doesn't create bots. It's not built that way. And but ChatGPT is, and you can, or Claude, you can use Claude, which is another form of open source that's like ChatGPT, similar. And so you could create that really easy. It's you just put in what you want it to on one side of the window, and then the other side of the window, it creates what you want. Then and if you get stuck anywhere, you ask the question and it helps you all the way through every step of the way.
Right. Jeff, Musk and his Doge hackers have been accused of inserting malware into government computers. Why would they do that? And what should we be concerned about regarding that?
Oh my God. It's everything, because, you know, like, oh, they how quick they were able to siphon the information by putting, you know, using external hard drives at the same time, planting malware through Trojan horses, you know, like it's in a folder on the back end. When they have IT people in the government, they're just like doing maintenance. IT people are just like the front end of a website or a front end, like spreadsheets, or there's a problem with the email, they fix that. And then if there anything more than that, they can't do it. That's whole back end, that's restructure. These kids that came in, they know they're a shit. They know what they're doing. They go in there and boom, within 30 seconds, they're able to plan all these. And God knows what they did in Pennsylvania and these swing states when they were able to probably, who knows? But it was created through Grok. I asked Grok, was it able to create this AI source that Grok has? So it's based on Grok, that source. So everything will be siphoned, hey, no matter what. It's that they have to purge the drives and maybe destroy them and get new ones. That's the only way to fix that. And I don't know if the government knows this, because the knowledge of this, you know, is like 99.9% of the people don't know, you know, and that's the problem.
Right. We have a little over 2 minutes till the next break. The landscape has evolved in so many ways. It's almost unrecognizable in terms of how things used to be done. In your opinion, how has activism evolved in this digital age?
We're in cyber warfare period, of course, you know, and everybody is, you know, cyber driven. We are, you know, constant social media. What is our tool that we use for activism? Is social media. We have to use it. We have to use our phones to fight, but we need boots on the ground and everything like that. But how do people know if that's going to happen? You know, unless we have that information. So that's why we must protect this, that we must have these counter bots that they're using, that they could build dummy sites. We could build our own sites that, and let's make it legitimate. We don't have to hide anything. Why do we have to hide? Let them hide. Let's expose them. That's what I say. That's part of the battle of winning this war on social media and cyber warfare that we're in.
Right.
My opinion.
Right. Yeah. We got about 1 minute left. Quickly, what are your thoughts on the future of independent media? How can we leverage AI, blockchain, and decentralized platforms to keep independent voices alive. Is there anything you want to add to what we've been talking about?
Well, definitely blockchains are going to be decentralized, you know, so like, you know, we creating more social media platforms like Blue Sky, and also DeepSeek's a good source, even though it's China made, but see, that was created on open source. And that's the true thing.
Why is that important?
Why is open source important? Because it's free. You can create your own code. You don't have to have massive knowledge to use it. You have a support group of community people that know source code. They can walk even through it. And they're all for, we're all on the same team with that open source. They don't want any of this going on.
Yeah.
So they're players. We got to get them in.
I'm talking to Jeff Crawford. We're going to take another break and come back for our final segment. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hempresent. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Back on Jeff Crawford. Jeff, your early work included indie music, television, and rare footage preservation, including acts like Nirvana and projects like No on Measure 9. Tell us about Bohemia After Dark and your background in media.
Yeah, I started in 82 shooting bands, and this is in Phoenix, Arizona. Then videotape, I had a camera. And then I took that looking for a place to play the local music, and then found cable access, started using cable access. It was the beginnings of it. And then we had it played all over the city. And then we got it into regional areas, did show trades with other people like Frank Harlan from Bomb Shelter Video and Northwest Rocks, for instance, and Real George's Backroom, Albany. And then I moved up to Portland and got in the music scene because Seattle and Portland in the late 80s, early 90s was really happening. I moved there in 90 and got involved with cable access and volunteered. They had 5 channels. It was great. And worked with a lot of different people and learned a lot of different things. And then I took from the show, went into Seattle. Right after Frank's show, after Northwest Rocks, we were on KPDX, Fox 49 in Portland, Oregon for 3 years. And it was late night, 1 a.m., kind of like no one would watch it. It's like, you know, overnight. Anyways, and we did good. We won a couple Billboard awards and got some platinum records out of it. And yeah.
Yeah, I did. In the early 90s, you know, I did Freedom Television for several years on cable access up here. And then we switched to THC TV for about 4 or 5 years. Those were the days. I mean, that was the early YouTube, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. It was so many people I worked with. And if it wasn't for cable access, I wouldn't have gotten into broadcast television. And though I have radio experience, but you know, if it wasn't for that, it was great, you know. And then expanded multiple markets. We were on with Network One for a while, which was a small independent and low power TV stations. After that, in the 2000s, we moved back to Phoenix, and I started my own TV station, low power. I just leased a channel in Phoenix and just got a DVD player and put it in Mesa, Arizona. And usury pass, and I had to drive up there every day to put a new disc in, and it was just no cable even. And this is a pioneer and digital with KRS when it went digital. We worked back to Portland for a couple of years, worked with digital, and then YouTube happened. That's where I really started focusing on YouTube and they approached me and gave me a partnership. This was before Google bought them in 2006 and 2007 when it really blew up doing hip hop channel. Millions of views. Anyways, it went away because of copyright and I didn't have permission to play it on the internet. So I did my own thing. BohemiaAfterDark.com. I already had that anyways. I was using that as an anchor with the TV station actually for people to communicate before YouTube. And everything. So, yeah.
The cable access was really, you know, subversive and irreverent. It was a chance to get alternative information. Like, we had the Bong Hit Championships up here that I was on a bunch of times. But,
But it was like, it like seemed like Portland and Seattle kind of like coincide with that. Like, we had Jim Spag, he would play with this band and he would do air guitar playing naked. And Sister Paula Transgender minister, I helped on her show. Paul Richmond doing abuse of power, falling cops around like the show Cops, but instead of we followed with the police and their wrongdoings. That was fun. And a lot of cool things with cable access. Really, there should be some award for something that did it.
Yeah, man. Yep. We're running out of time, Jeff. We've got about a minute left. Really quickly, what's your final thoughts in 30 seconds you want to leave us with today?
I think everybody should get out and be active. And this is a very important movement that we need to focus on. And boots on the ground. As I'm a military veteran, Army veteran at that, and I think everybody should get out there and protest and watch yourself on social media. Explain how to protect yourself, basically, and you're with the terms of service with these companies. Just keep that in mind. They hold the strings.
All right, Jeff Crawford, man, thank you for your important work, and thanks for taking time out to talk to me today. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you.
The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Wren, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you later, folks. Stay strong. We're riding the wave. Democracy must survive. Bye. Marijuana!